I might just give you a moment to find Jonah. For those of us who the reading sort of went past us quickly and we're still looking for the little book, the tiny little one, Jonah, I'm stalling for a few moments so you can find it, because you're probably like me. I don't know how many times in the last couple of weeks I've been looking up Jonah and he keeps disappearing. He's a tiny little fella, but we're zooming in and looking at Jonah. As you open your Bibles, please open out your outline. That may be helpful as we go through. You may want to take notes. Hopefully it's helpful as you learn and help you this week as you reflect on God's Word. I encourage you to do that, not just learn and be taught tonight, but to sit under God's Word throughout the week and think through the implications of what we hear tonight. Every single one of us goes through tough times. They're different for each one of us, but we know we all have them. Some of us might be going through tough times tonight, might be really going through some difficulties, where we start to ask those questions that, are you really there, God? Can be some really dark moments, some really tough times. It might be tonight that you're conscious. You actually know you're distant from God. You're familiar with the term, the point of no return. People know what I'm talking about, the point of no return. I'll give you an illustration. Say you go canyoning. And you go into the canyon and you sort of walk along for a little bit and then you go down and you may abseil down a section. Then you get to the moment and then you pull the ropes down after you. And you realise you've gone so far, there's no turning back. You've got to a point and you can't go back. You might feel that way with God. It might be something in the past that from that moment things changed. Something significant. Or it might be something in the past that is so sad or so dark that you feel too far gone. It might be that deep down you know that you are right now running away from God. You know he's there, but you keep running. Tonight we're looking at Jonah's prayer in chapter 2, and he reflects upon his darkest hour. And I'm going to pray that tonight, as we hear God's word, that through his word he encourages us. But not only encourages us, that he teaches us and actually models to us how we might rightly respond to him when we face those dark moments in our lives. Please join me as I'm going to lead us in praying before we look at Jonah chapter 2. Our gracious Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. We thank you for your word. Thank you for this prayer of Jonah's. We pray that tonight that you will speak to us through your word. We pray that you will encourage us. We ask that tonight you may teach us. And Father, we pray that you will, through your word, show us and model to us how to respond when we feel so far away from you. When we go through suffering, when we go through hardship, teach us how to respond rightly. Amen. Jonah chapter 2. The story so far. Where are we in Jonah? Well, God spoke to Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1, and he said, Jonah, you are to go to Nineveh. Those wicked people over there, you are to go to them in the desert and preach against them. Jonah heard the word of the Lord, his shoulders dipped, and he put his head down and ran. God said, go to those people over there. He ran the opposite direction. And he ran away from the presence of the Lord. And God chased him. God hurled a large storm. The sailors on the boat where Jonah was responded by hurling things over the board. They were panicking. It didn't work. They cast lots. Who's responsible for this storm? And then a telling moment, the lot fell on Jonah. And he stood up and told them about his God, who made everything. I'm running away from him. The sailors panic, so they row even harder. And Jonah puts up his hand and he says, throw me in. He didn't drop to his knees on the boat and repent, but he says, throw me in the water and the seas will be calm. And scene one in Jonah finishes with Jonah, the servant of the Lord, running away from the inescapable God. He's thrown into the sea and he is slowly sinking till he's out of sight. Scene two. From verse 17, follow with me in your Bibles, Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Jonah is now inside the fish. He was sinking, and now he's inside this fish, and he's stunned. And he prays to the Lord. Verse 2 through to verse 9 actually recalls his prayer. As Jonah reflects, one moment I was just floating and sinking so far from God, yet now I'm saved. We're looking at this prayer tonight. I want you to have a bit of a feel for where we're going, how this prayer kind of fits together. Just have a look at how it opens in verse 2. You see him actually crying out in distress. He is fearful and he cries out. It's a distressful cry. Verse 2, but you get to the end of the prayer, verse 9, and he is crying out, but it's a very different cry. It's a cry of thanksgiving that he is singing with all his might. Something has happened to Jonah. Something remarkable. What's happened? What is the guts of this prayer? Have a look with me from verse 3 and 4. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me, and I said, I've been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again to your holy temple. Come down to verse 7. When my life was ebbing away, it was just ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. See what's happening? His life was just slipping away as he was swallowing water, possibly losing consciousness, as he was going down deeper and deeper. His life was ebbing away. And then he looked again. He remembered. And he prayed again to the holy temple. See his prayer? It's not this prayer, oh, God, if there is a God, can you hear me? It's not that type of prayer. It's a different type of prayer. He remembers the promises of God. And he cries out to him. I'm not sure if you remember in your Bibles when Solomon actually set up the temple. The temple was the place where God's presence was. If you wanted to speak to God, if you wanted to pray to Him, if you wanted access to God, you went to the temple. That's where the presence of God was, the temple. 1 Kings 8. Read it this week. It's fantastic. It's when Solomon sets up the temple and he says this wonderful promise. This is the place where you come and you have access to God. Yet, if you are far away, if you're at war, or if you're taken into exile, if you are far away from the Lord in sin, no matter how far away you are, if you turn to the temple and pray, God promises that He will hear your prayer. And this is what Jonah did. So far away as his life was taken from him, he remembers this promise. And he turns back to the Lord and he prays. First point. When you're far from the Lord, it can be some very, very tough times. Sometimes one of the hardest things to do when you realize there's this distance with God is to actually stop and pray. I don't know why it is that sometimes that's the furthest thing on our minds. It could be pride. You know, I've got myself into this trouble and I'm going to get myself out of here. I don't know what it is that stops us from praying. It could be the stress of situation. It could be the grief that makes us inward focus. It could be the guilt that is just eating away at us. It can be hard to come before the Lord in prayer, but we must not overlook this first point. As Jonah was in the darkest moments, he prayed. We need to remember that. As we're going through tough times, the first thing that we should do is remember to pray. To turn back to the Lord and pray. See what Jonah did? He turned his eyes back to the temple. That was a place where they had access with God. See, from that time of Jonah, the story of the Bible has rolled on. And Jesus has come. It's no longer the temple. The temple was just to prepare us to understand who Jesus is. Jesus says all that Old Testament stuff was so you understand who I am. That we have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. John 2. Jesus talks about the temple. And he says, that's me. If you want access to God, you come to me. So we, in our dark times, we don't turn to the temple. We don't cry out, is there a God? But we come back to God through Jesus. We have immense privilege that we come before God the Father. He hears our prayers because of Jesus, what He has done for us. Firstly, we should pray. Secondly, we learn an important truth, and an encouraging one, that God is always accessible in this prayer. Have a look in verse 2. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. And from the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you were there. You listened to my cry. See, last week as we followed the story, we saw that the Lord is everywhere, that he is the inescapable God. You know, in the Psalms we see this, where they say, where can we flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, the Lord is there. If I float down to the depths, like Jonah, you are there. And this is a wonderful encouragement for us, that he is there, that he is always accessible. And therefore, we can never be too far away. I've only been a minister not for a long time, and already had a number of really, really tough conversations. One sticks with me, and it was what should I say? It was an absolute stunning sight. Poor girl wanted to catch up and wanted to speak to someone. We caught up. I said, "G'day, this is who I am." She was pretty hard to understand at first, not because of her language or anything, but she was so worked up. She was shaking, and she didn't quite know what to say. Over, I guess, the next hour and a half of our initial conversation, she shared a little bit of what's happened in the last year and a half of her life. She used to be part of a great church, a supportive family, a supportive church family. But in her time away from home, she lost direction. She was wanting to fit in and feel loved. She told me about her boyfriend and a little bit about the history there. And then she was saying 2 weeks ago I came back from holidays, and during that time she had an abortion. And she was shaking and didn't know which way was up. And this poor girl, with a series of bad decisions, the lostness that she was in, just what do you do at that time apart from share with her that despite the past, you are never too far away? They are comforting words when you feel like you are too far gone. It's a wonderful comfort when the recent future is so dark, you are so ashamed and just shaken with grief and disgust, and you're never too far away. If you pray, he will hear you. They are comforting words. See, in her darkness, in our darkness, see, it's not just that God can hear us. That's not the comforting thing. It's not just that he can hear us, but it's actually that it's the Lord who is powerful that hears us. That he is powerful and he acts. It is that is comforting. That our God is ever able. Have a look with me in verses 2 and verse 6. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, from the place of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." Verse 6, "To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. See what we see here in this prayer? What we see is that Jonah was dead. And God raised him up. See, nothing is too hard for our Lord. You are never too far gone. You know, we've got Sarah with a barren womb, very old. It's not too hard for the Lord. How about our Lord Jesus? His body was cold in a tomb. Nothing is too hard. As he raised him to life, you are never too far gone. Nothing is too hard. I'm not sure where you're at tonight. We're good at sort of keeping ourselves, I guess, closed. Even to those who are closest around us, we can hide. But I'm not sure where you are. You may be conscious that you're running away from the Lord. You may be aware of something in your life and you know there's that distance. That your head down is and you're running away. Well, I want to remind you that the Lord is always accessible. If you call on him, he will listen. And I want to urge you to do that. But I also want you to remember that nothing is too hard for him. And this is a hard one because you can feel like your history, your past, the things that you've done, the grief in your life, you may feel like you're too far gone. But you need to hear the words in this prayer that even though you may feel that way, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Will you pray to him? Will you look back to Jesus on the cross? If you remember on the Good Friday, as Jesus died on the cross, you remember what happened in the temple? Simultaneously as he died, the curtain, which was preventing people to having access, was torn from top to bottom. Through Jesus, we have access to God. He listens to us. He longs to hear our prayers, and he is powerful enough to act. If you know that you've got that distance, I need to urge you to turn back to him and pray. Will you do that? Will you pray to the Lord? Because if you do, he will listen. And he's the Lord who forgives. How did Jonah respond? Well, Jonah prayed. What happened? God heard. God acted. See how Jonah reacted? Verse 7 to verse 9. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I'll make good, for salvation comes from the Lord. See how Jonah responded? He responded in praise and in service. See his lips, see what came out? Salvation belongs to the Lord. See this guy, his life was lifted up from the pit. And all of a sudden, thankfulness welled up inside him that it flowed out of his lips as he praised the one who saved him. See, not just praising with his lips, but also service with his life. This overwhelming sense of thankfulness welled up from deep inside, and all he did was want to serve. Well, if you're a Christian tonight, this Easter is my privilege to reminding you of what the Lord has done for you. That you were dead, that he made you alive in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say that again, because that's wonderful news. That if you're a Christian, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, you were dead, and he made you alive in Christ Jesus. And may thankfulness in him well up in us, that it flows out of our lips, that our life is dictated by thankful service to him. Let me pray. Our gracious Father, thank you for the privilege of speaking to you. Father, there's a whole bunch of us here tonight, and we don't know where we're at, where each other of us are at with you. Father, we pray for those of us who know we're not in right relationship with you, who know that we are running away from you, maybe for a whole range of reasons. Father, thank you for your word tonight, that it reminds us that we are never too far gone, that you are always there. As the creator of this world, we cannot run from you. That we can always turn to you, knowing that you listen to us. And Father, we pray that those of us who are far from you may turn and pray. Father, we pray for those of us tonight who have trusted in the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that this Easter we are reminded again that you have brought our life up from the pit. And Father, remind us afresh that we were dead and we are now alive in you. And Father, we pray that our hearts will be changed, and understanding our status before you will mean that our thankfulness will well up inside us. And Father, we pray that on our lips we will praise you. We pray with our actions, with our decisions, we will seek to serve you with everything that we have. Amen.